You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to another round of the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. And for those that may not be familiar, thanks for hanging out with us, however you are doing so, at 92.9 The Game, the Off the Woodwork podcast section, or on the Odyssey app. The SDHAM program is part of the start of your day on the Soccer Down Here Network. The SDH Network starts with your morning espresso with Jason Longshore, kind of sets up the day for you. 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time. SDHAM is the morning show that gets you geared up for the rest of your day, kind of looks at some of the stories that you might have missed in the overnight, some of the early stuff from overseas that you might have missed while you were waking up, and gets you ready for the remainder of your day and takes a peek at all of the stories and storylines with the help from personalities and pundits and play-by-play and announcers and all of the folks that watch the beautiful game as much as you do and can lend insight and journalistic reporting and all of that analysis to everything that goes on in and around the beautiful game. And so this week, it's a couple of different directions. We find out, you know, Wilfred Nancy leaves Columbus Crew, goes to Celtic. And so with all of the pitchforks and tiki torches that are already out unnecessarily so, you know, the response from the fans at Celtic has been less than kind after a handful of days and two matches, really, less than a week that Wilfred Nancy has been at Celtic. We went to Chris Doran, longtime play-by-play voice of the Columbus Crew, to find out about the departure of Wilfred Nancy, what the coaching search is looking like in Columbus, and some of the other off-season stories, the departure and retirement of Darlington Nagbe, what may look like with hashtag Nagbe replacements and personnel and things like that now that we're in the free agency window and the re-entry window. We find out Columbus, Celtic, and Wilfred Nancy from Chris Doran. Also on the show, our friend Glenn Davis from Soccer Matters at ESPN 97.5 in Houston, longtime play-by-play voice in the sport, and has called college soccer this season with our friend Casey White. And what we decided to do with Glenn is find out about what's going on with the World Cup in Houston. And what the response has been like now that the grid is out and the schedule's out and we know that the teams are going to be playing at Houston Stadium, what the vibe is like. And we kind of talk about the soccer culture and the audiences or lack thereof in Houston, get Glenn's insight on the game that is happening in Houston that should probably be watched by a lot more folks. And we're hoping that the upcoming season in Major League Soccer and NWSL and World Cup will add to the audiences that should be there in Houston, Texas. And then third up, we have a series at the SDH Network where we're checking in on each individual host city for the 2026 World Cup. And we're finding out from committee leads and general managers of each of the efforts how the cities are progressing and what do they need to work on, how are they tackling some of the issues that might be coming up, how do they plan on handling all of the traffic, either foot traffic or four-wheel traffic that wants to come in and watch the beautiful game in all of these cities. We check in on host committee lead Jesse Adcock in Vancouver. And we find out that Vancouver, for those that may you might remember, they're no stranger to hosting World Cups, having been a hub for the Women's World Cup when it was in Canada at BC Place. And so we find out where Vancouver is right now and all of the building and infrastructure and manpower and everything needed and all of the activities going on and how after the first park has been and the grass has been laid down, what life is like in Vancouver as they're getting ready for the World Cup coming up in really 6 months' time. So we find out from committee lead Jesse Adcock how things are going on in Vancouver. So without further ado, thanks for hanging out with us here on the Best of SDHAM. First up, play-by-play voice of the Columbus Crew, Chris Doran, about Nancy, Nagby, and replacements. And this is where we bring in our friend Chris Doran, among other things to discuss, the calmness of the average Celtic fan when it comes to 1 day and 3 days having a coach. Morning, sir. Welcome back. Good to see you, my friend.
John, good to see you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I do want to get into some incredibly insightful topics that I know that a lot of folks want to get into, like Indiana football. I have to ask about Indiana football. We got to get into that in a second because that was from the weekend, too. I led into your segment this morning by playing a little bit of the post-match 1v1 that Wilfred had with Sky Scotland. And I was trying to break down to folks to anticipate the slings and arrows that are going to be headed Wilfred Nancy's way. Doesn't matter if he's been there 3 days, doesn't matter if he's been there 3 weeks, months, or years. The extremes of the Celtic fan, we're going to catch it full while we're keeping an eye on Wilfred Nancy. And I love the hire. But I'm just, it's going to drive everybody crazy sitting there and looking at the extremes of this thing. And even after 3 days of work, and I'm sure everybody's going, this was such a bad idea. What are we doing? You know, that kind of
right.
Calmness that's always attached to these kinds of things.
Yeah, I think there's a sense of urgency from the Celtic fan base, and I understand that. I think they've been through a lot more unrelated to the new coach.
Oh, yeah.
That perhaps is sort of bleeding over into the experience of welcoming a new gaffer to the sidelines, as they'd say over there. So that has to be considered. But I think you put the finger on exactly what the bigger issue is. And the passion and expectation from the supporter space is extraordinary, mm-hmm. albeit some would argue a bit unrealistic. and I think requires a considerable amount of patience when you're even just having the conversation about a new coach. So, we wish Wilfried all the best. I think there was an expectation, though a lot of people thought it would be later, that Wilfried at some point was going to take a jump. And as we've come to find out for especially some of the members of his staff, but also for him, Celtic has been a club that he has kept an eye on over a long period of time. And for this opportunity to come up is sort of storybook for his career. So good for them.
No doubt. And once again, I'm intrigued. I want him to go over there and just take the league by storm and grab it by the scruff of the neck and sit there. And we can all sit here on this side of the Atlantic and sit there and go, see?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the guy. This is what you're getting. But I don't know if folks are going to be that patient. That's just the thing that always gets to me when we talk about stuff on the other side of the Atlantic.
Right.
because of Wilfred heading to Celtic, that means that Columbus is now chasing after their own new gaffer. And I know that it is supposed to be a worldwide search and all this kind of stuff. What, I guess when you look at it right now, where is the process? You've got to rush, but you can't be quick, I guess, to paraphrase John Wooden, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's unfair to assume that the club has had a short list for some time. In fact, Issa Tall, in a conversation with him, our general manager, not too long ago, a week and a half ago, indicated that it's been an 8-month process for finding a replacement. And really what he means by that is they walked into a room, the decision makers, that is, and they said, all right, you know, who are the top 20? And that's probably where they started. And then they got, and they weeded some of those names out, and they got some calls from people that they didn't expect would be available. And now you've got a top 15, a top 12. And then you start making that whittled down process a little more refined. You get the notice that the manager is leaving, and now you have to find your top 8 and start talking real hard about numbers and expectations. And I feel really confident that, you know, the club was not taken by surprise by this at all. Would they have liked it to have, you know, maybe happened in the summer of next year? Sure. But I think this is an ideal situation for the club in terms of finding candidates. I got confirmation from the general manager that they are hearing from agents, not from individuals, but from agents of individuals who are under contract with other clubs.
Whoa.
And so that becomes a little bit of a difficult landscape to navigate at some point. But I think ownership is committed to continuing what this club is all about. In the DNA of the club is an attacking, entertaining style of soccer that will continue. And if you're a coach who says, you know, I love playing a true four in the back and my wingers stay home and we don't give up any goals, and if we get one, we're fine, you're probably not going to get the second interview with this club.
Yeah.
I don't know how many clubs you're going to get a second interview with unless you're in Germany, but that's probably not going to be a second interview callback.
I just have this vision of Sam Allardyce sending his CV to Issa Tall all of a sudden. It's just like, oh, you've got an opening. Hey, let's figure it out. You know, when the job came open, we were discussing things down here, and one of the names that was started by Jason, and we're sitting there going, hey, yeah, that's a great idea. Yes, hydration is absolutely proper. Yes, we need to do that. Laurent Courtois came across our bow as an idea, and I know that folks might get wrapped up in the failures of jobs past, but we thought that because of that DNA that you're looking for and the successes that he had with Crew 2, that might be somebody that would be toward the front of the line.
Well, first of all, I would clarify that when you use the word failure and Laurent Courtois in the same sentence, you are clearly referring to the Montreal franchise and not to Laurent Courtois himself. That said, Laurent is thought of very highly in the Columbus market. And I do believe, given his success with Crew 2 and what he was trying to achieve in Montreal, and to some degree was able to take some early and small steps with that group, would probably be a reasonable candidate for this position. There are at least two other individuals within the club who I think also qualify because of their history with the Columbus Crew. Their understanding of the way the team plays and their understanding of the roster would still be very good candidates. So you have three what I would consider in-house candidates right off the bat, which is a really great place to be. You certainly don't want to be hiring in desperation, but if it ever got to that point where, you know, the guys report tomorrow and we still don't have a candidate, you might be able to close the deal for a short period of time with one of those gentlemen. I think Courtois is absolutely a possibility. He won MLS Next Pro Cup here in Columbus with the inaugural season of MLS Next Pro. And made it to the final in the second year, you know, with a relatively new group of players. So he knows what he's doing. And within the Crew desire to play, he knows exactly how to make it happen. So, yeah, he'd be a reasonable candidate. you know, I think the question becomes more so the roster that's currently in place is a roster that was built with the assumption that, you know, we got Wilfried Nancy probably 4 years, 4 or 5 years. Let's see if we can continue to keep this talent overlapped and everything. The one thing that we weren't anticipating was Darlington Nagbe retiring, and I'm sure you'll probably want to talk to that. But you take the Darlington Nagbe story out. You still have a core group of championship caliber players who are coming back, and the addition of Wessam Abu Ali, who was only able to play a handful of games in the latter part of the season. So do you need a more veteran coach, someone who knows how to handle these international influences in a locker room? And is Laurent equipped to do that? Maybe he is, you know, maybe he is. I think the conversations with candidates will be very interesting, no matter who they are.
Yeah, and you mentioned veteran coaches in this league, and the first name that popped into my head was Peter Vermes, and I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, okay, dude's on the beach, and you know, but my larger question would be, with someone like a Peter Vermes, would he? I mean, he has been the Bill Parcells type. You know, he wants to be in the kitchen, he wants to buy the groceries, he wants to make the meal, and he wants to serve it. I don't know if Columbus would be in a situation where they would want to give the entire kitchen to Peter, or just like, it's like, nah, fam, you're just here to sit there and you know, you're here to help us make the meal. And then, you know, Graham Ramsey's going to sit there and he's going to go, this is awful, you know, one of those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Would Peter want to dial it back to just one role on the business card?
Yeah, I don't know if he would or not. I don't see the club doing that. Yeah. I don't see that. The club doesn't need that. The academy is in really good hands. The second team's in really good hands. There's a reason for that, because the club is one club in the sense that we have this, we are, talent comes and goes in players, coaches, administrators, leaders. And what remains the same is the vision that the ownership group has got. And that is that we're going to be very true to our principles. Our core is going to be most important. The facilities have been expanded. I mean, the investment from ownership for the academy right now, John, has been incredible. And, the market is supporting the teams. So I don't think that it behooves the club to find somebody who wants to have, as you say, the hands on every plate and every serving glass and piece of silverware in the kitchen. Yeah. Does that person influence any of it? Sure. You know, they can come in and request, if you want to stick with the metaphor, they can come in and request something for dinner. But if they get a couple of sides that they don't like, then they're going to have to sit and eat it. Now I'm hungry for more breakfast. So anyway, that's what I would say. I would say, Bring someone in who's got the background and understands and embraces the way the club operates as one club from the academy all the way to the first team.
Chris Dorn, longtime voice of the Columbus Crew, hanging out with us as we kind of go out of 25, go into 26. And the timeliness factor of Wilfried Nancy in his first match was what triggered in my brain reaching out to Chris and kind of kicking things off here. All right, let's talk Darlington Nagbe. And our buddy Nagbe here, one of the quietest dudes ever. It's like, oh yeah, I'm done. It's just like no runway, at least publicly, but that's just not how he operates. And then he's like, yeah, end of the season, I'm done. How much of a surprise was it?
I think to the players closest to him, probably not a massive surprise. And I'm talking about Evan Bush, our reserve goalkeeper, but of course a longtime starter for Montreal. Talking about Steven Moreira, who is international for Cape Verde, has won an MLS Cup here. A couple of guys who are still in the league, Teal Bunbury, who was with him at Akron. Those were phone calls that he made early on. And I don't think those phone calls lasted too long, until they got to what are you going to do next? And then, you know, Darlington probably didn't have much in the way of an answer, but he just knew that you know, this routine of missing my kids' birthdays, this routine of being away from home for 2 or 3 days at a time, and in some cases longer than that, has gotten to be too much. His kids are very much involved. His wife, of course, Felicia, as you know, having covered him when he played in Atlanta, very much involved in community and in activities. They are not sitting at home playing video games. These people are wonderfully participatory in their entire community. That's one of the reasons why the league hates to lose a guy like that, is because he's been honored so many times as being the great humanitarian that he is. And the relationship with Nationwide and Nationwide Children's Hospital in town has just been, you know, a longstanding, I think, model for what professional athletes can do with their local organizations. So when we got the word that he was leaving, it was kind of like, well, he's got that one option year. Why doesn't he just let the club bring him back one more year, make $1 million and leave it at that? But no, he said no. You know, that was it. And I've been told by a number of players that once a player makes a commitment to that decision, they rarely come back. I think Michael Jordan is probably the only one who said, I'm going to come back. But he didn't really retire from basketball in the sense that he went to baseball and then came back after baseball didn't work out so well.
Yeah, and then had issues hitting a curveball in Birmingham, and it's just, you know, hey, I can hit that. Give me a fastball. I can be a pull hitter in Birmingham, but that's really
yeah.
And then, you know, hit 230 or whatever in Birmingham. It's like, no, maybe I need to kind of go back to basketball.
Yeah.
So then when you look at the profiles of, you know, contracts and things like that, and trying to figure out the off season and who's in, who's out, you add Darlington to the outs, and you sit there and you look at the roster profile. I'm sitting here and staring at it real quick. Let's see. Nagby had an option year. Camacho did not have an option year. His contract was over. Derek Jones has an option year. Lapalainen had an option year going in. Amar Sadich had an option year going in. Evan Bush was supplemental. He was out of contract. So there were some decisions that needed to be made with supplementals and rosters. Where do things currently stand with the outs and decisions that have to go?
Well, a lot of those decisions have already been made. I don't think Lassie was brought back. I don't have the form in front of me, but Lassie's option to come back was not exercised. They're still talking, I think, to Rudy Camacho. And still talking to Evan Bush. And we are of the assumption that Evan will be back for another year to play.
Right.
We had 5 goalkeepers on our roster this past year. Didn't need all 5. but excuse me, I think we'll have 4 on the sheet going into the season. Evan Bush clearly has, if not a Hollywood career in front of him, but Evan Bush has got a coaching career in front of him. And he recognizes that his role is as much a backup as it is a mentor to young goalkeepers like Patrick Schulte, who hopefully plays for the men's national team next summer, and Nico Hagen, who plays for Guatemala. So Evan Bush is a critical part of the puzzle there. You know, it's the core coming back. I mean, there was some concern that Steven Moreira might be declining the option to come back, but Moreira will be back. And then you got Sean Zawadzki, who maybe with the right center back becomes more the midfielder that we had all hoped and thought that he would be when Aiden Morris left.
Yeah.
You have Daniel Gosdag, who's still trying to kind of find his way. Now he'll be able to find his way in a new system, maybe some abbreviated or homogenized system with what he was playing versus what could be played, and give him more success. He's a scoring leader out of Philadelphia, and he struggled within Wilfried Nancy's system. And I felt bad for him because he's a good player, he's a good man, and he's a committed athlete. So, you know, you've got Gazdag, Rossi, and Wesema Boeli as your designated players. And Hugo Picard is a U22 initiative. Andres Herrera has been secured for another year on loan from Argentina. So it's a really great looking squad. Now, Max Arfston may or may not leave. I hope he doesn't. I don't think he should. There has been some interest from other countries for Max. The winger had a career year this year. The one thing I'd say about Max is he's just performed so well for the men's national team. I think it would be in his best interest to be in the States for the next 8 months, get through the World Cup, and if Europe calls, go ahead and take that call. But, you know, I think just stay stateside until the World Cup is over.
It's good to have these kinds of discussions about American players where you have leagues on the other sides of oceans knocking on doors wanting players in Major League Soccer here in Major League 2.5, 3.0. And I think the evolution of someone like a Max Arfston, what's it been like to see his game evolve and mature to where he is the integral part that he was with Crew, but now also being a part of things on the national team?
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, if you go on social media, it can be a little bit of a downer. I don't think that there are as many supporters for Max overall in the men's national team social media sphere, but you know, you take that with a grain of salt. They all think they know something. We know what Max can do. We know how dangerous he is. We know what a great talent he has become in the last he came in 2023. So it's only been 3 years. He's phenomenal. He really is. And he's a great interview. And obviously Pochettino and his staff love him because of his versatility and the fact that he doesn't give up and he can put a full 90 in. So I think, you know, obviously the joy here in Columbus to see him be so successful is overwhelming. And to see him succeed on the national stage as having logged the most assists all season long for the Red, White, and Blue is tremendous. He's a finalist for Young Men's Player of the Year with the men's national team. So, you know, all those things are great. They look terrific for him. National stage, international stage next year. And then, you know, probably a hop off to Europe. We would certainly understand that. And we would still love him when he comes back.
When it comes to the roster holes as you currently see them, how many of them do you feel will be filled by homegrowns getting more minutes and becoming more confident within the system and within the identity there in Columbus? And how much outside shopping do you think the front office is going to do?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the Crew leadership has always done a terrific job of balancing those two exercises, identifying talent from within, making sure that their timing in terms of their arrival to the first team is appropriate. And then rewarding them for the work that they put in on the first team level. When it comes to international talent, you know, a really great scouting group throughout Europe and South America. And I think the priorities going into this off season, what we've been told as much from Issa Tall, the general manager, it's a center back type role. It's a midfielder type role and support up top. So that about fits with what we've been sort of, I won't say struggling with, because Sean Zawatsky's been more than efficient as a center back. But now that Nagby's gone, you know, to have that warrior in the midfield like a Sean Zawatsky would be ideal, I think, for the black and gold. And to bring in a bigger presence as a center back, I think, would be ideal as well.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I was alluding to was, you know, the hashtag Nagby replacement. Because we had that in Atlanta. It's like, oh, well, so he's a Nagby replacement. Well, no, not really. He might be a midfielder in name, but not a midfielder, a Nagby-ish like in activity. And so that's kind of what folks need to kind of grasp when it comes to
that. Isn't that funny, John, how folks expect a like-for-like replacement? Yeah. And you don't often get that.
Yeah, I mean, unless everything is static, and that's the thing. It's not everything is static in a constantly changing environment. You know, it's right. Look, you and I have been hydrating this morning with our various beverages, and just because, you know, we sit there and we have the beverage, you think that things are going to stay the same. No, it's not the same amount of liquid that's in the glass. We're going to sit there and we're going to hydrate with it. We're going to become caffeinated, but the amount of caffeine beverage decreases. It doesn't stay static. As much as we'd love for it to, it doesn't stay that way. Bless you.
Thank you.
No worries. Let's see. Indiana football. We got to get into this. Kurt Cignetti don't take nothing from nobody. I think that if he could do it his way, he just like, I swear, when he was getting the questions about, you know, being the number two seed or whatever in the CFP, and he's kind of sitting there and he's looking at the
microphone. He's like, boy, do I really have to stand here as we're going to break? I mean, I love what he's doing there.
He's really something. He's got quite the attitude. Do you, as a broadcaster, sort of say to yourself, I don't know if I could pull that off if I were him?
I know. I mean, I'd love to sit there and say that, you know, somebody gives me a question and I'd be kind of sitting there. I couldn't, you know, as much as I'd like to be frank and honest, sometimes, you know, you're biting your tongue and the blood's coming out of the corner of your mouth. And you have to give the answer that you have to give instead of the answer that you want to give sometimes.
Right.
Cignetti, he's just like, nope, I'm going to give you what I think. Just make sure that you're prepared. That's the biggest thing. Just be prepared with your questions and have a backup, because he's like, 7 seconds, second question, do I really have to be here? Third question, 30 seconds, and I'm gone.
What I love about it is when they do the pregame interview, sideline reporter will ask one question. He is partially turned away by the end of the sentence.
He's out. Walking. And that's why I'm like, I've had to deal with that before where coaches would be like, you know, I'll give you my response, like yes, no, maybe. It's an open-ended question that I give. It's not a closed-ended question. That's one of the first things that we always learn. Give an open-ended question. I give these coaches open-ended questions, and they're still like 7 seconds, and I'm out the door. You can see the contrails from these coaches at times. Cignetti's willing, and he's just out the door. Is Mendoza getting your Crooked Elbow Award in New York City?
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of college football. We live in the heart of Ohio State country.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, love it. I just love the spirit for Ohio State football and athletics in general.
So then is Julian Sayin going to get it? Then I guess is what I should say.
Well, I would just, no, I would just say that I'm couching my answer. We are also, I'm a 30-year former resident in Bloomington, Indiana. So I, you know, IU is and a graduate, so IU is at the heart of who I root for, and I can tell you that watching the Big Ten championship game for my wife and I was just a really surreal experience, because we had both teams competing for the title. Mm-hmm. We understand the passion in our market for Ohio State football, and I wouldn't say that Julian Sayin probably gets the Heisman. Yeah. I would say Jeremiah Smith is an extraordinary athlete, and I'm a huge fan, having watched him the last couple of years. But Mendoza coming on the scene the way he has, and endearing himself the way he does to the camera, whether you like it or not, I think has played very, very well in his favor when it comes to deciding who takes that trophy.
Yeah, I mean, he cut the promo after the game, and everybody was sitting there going, yeah, that's about as babyface a promo as you can get. And I was waiting. It's like, okay, there's your quote, and there's your T-shirt from home. Yep. Like, give it 35 seconds. What is next on the rundown for you? Do you actually get time to just kind of chill and take it easy for a little bit?
Not really. We're going to go ahead and monitor what comes from the Ohio Health Performance Center in the way of news. My thought was probably another 2 weeks, but I truly think that I think Isatol has been well ahead of this news that we had to put up with over the last couple of weeks. And I'm confident that before we get to, let's say before we get to New Year's Day, we're gonna have a confirmation. But I truly think before Christmas, there's going to be confirmation of a candidate.
No doubt about it. And it's going to be great to follow along with you. I can't thank you enough for dropping by and starting our education toward the 26th season with all of the topics that come through and the education on Wilford Nancy for the folks that may not get it. That's why I knocked on your door, and I'm like, can you please help explain what's going on here?
John, you're terrific. I love your show, and thanks so much for having me. And Merry Christmas to you and the family.
Merry Christmas back at you, sir. We'll see you soon.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
As always, great to catch up with Chris and find out what's going on in Columbus and find out his thoughts about everything going on in and around Major League Soccer. This is the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you, one guest down, next guest up. Soccer Matters, Glenn Davis, one of the great voices from the booth for the sport, Major League Soccer, college soccer. He's probably called it all in his tenure, and now with the world coming to Houston Stadium, as a part of the World Cup, we catch up with Glenn about that. We catch up with Glenn about what else is going on in Houston and his desire to have more people watch what's going on in the Houston market. And so here's our conversation with Glenn Davis because soccer matters. Alternate stream, what's going on?
Oh, John, I am so sorry. I know how hard you work on putting such a great podcast together, so... I'm about to throw this other computer out, so I'm gonna take a pistol to it after this and put a bunch of bullets in it like Elvis did his TV.
It's all good, my friend. It's good to see you. Yes, proper caffeinating and the morning run. It's the way it always is. So you got yours, I've got mine. I've never been a coffee person, but I'm good to go. A couple of things I wanted to get into with you this morning. First and foremost. There's this thing, I don't know if folks have heard of it, called the World Cup.
and it's common. And Houston's going to be very, very busy. What's the vibes when the announcement came on Friday about matches and all the matches that are going to be there? What's the vibe been like there in Houston?
Yeah, I get the sense that it's become a little bit more real to people. You know, now you have storylines, things you can talk about, teams. We know the Dutch, the Germans. We know Portugal's coming here. We get two shots at Cristiano Ronaldo. People are excited about that. We have 2 million soccer fans here, and they come from all over the world. I think they're all very in tune to it. But Houston's turned into a massive city. I mean, it's probably I'm just taking a stab here, but 7.5 to 8 million people here. And in the last couple of years, I mean, you can sense as somebody that's lived here how many more people are here just based on traffic and getting around and everything. So I would say the real soccer people understand it. There's a lot of people involved with it that aren't really soccer people that I'm wondering if they really know what's about to come here in a tsunami of people from around the world. So I think the level of awareness, honestly, I was very disappointed with it prior to the draw, and I didn't see a lot being done to create and bring the entire city and community into it. So that's my take, but I think now there's a lot more ratcheting up of excitement.
So then, you know, and this is a conversation that you and I have had in the past, specifically about Dynamo and making that kind of an impact and drawing folks to Hell in a Shell to see it on a regular basis. And you're seeing the same kinds of things now when the world's going to be knocking on your doorstep. I mean, if you had unlimited budget, if I give you an unlimited budget, I sit there and I hand you the JP money bags, you know, the Ebenezer Duck, Scrooge McDuck or whoever he was. If I hand you that big bag with the S on it, how would you fix the problem and get folks into these matches, especially starting with the World Cup and then also with the Dynamo with the 26 season around the corner?
Well, that's a big question. We would need a lot of time. But I just think, you know, sports has gotten so commercial now. I think a lot of people that are making decisions are the quote unquote intellectuals and data people. And, you know, soccer's a sport that, you know, it's as much about, you know, striking a ball and putting it on somebody's chest from 20 yards away than it is on all the monetization of it and the commercialization of it. Look, I'm not naive. I know this is not going to stop, right? They're already talking about a 64-team World Cup. I just think that there's a lot of people in positions that could just acquire the skill of weaving everybody into it. I mean, every time we hear about the World Cup in Houston, they say the same thing. It's the same speech every time, and there's no soccer people up there, really. You know, there should be little kids standing there representing the youth community. You weave in some of your old time veterans from the soccer community. You give them a pat on the back. You do things above and beyond. And look, I'm not running the thing. And I understand there's incredible stuff going on. But when you are out in public, you have a way of weaving everybody into the thing. The Dynamo on another, you know, that's a whole nother kettle of fish right there. They're not relevant here. I'm sorry to say, but it's, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to people. I'm not going to lie to them on my radio show. They're not relevant. There's not enough that I see from a front office and a leadership and an inspiration standpoint. I mean, they had a press conference recently with the owner, Ted Siegel, and Tim Howard. And I mean, I listened to this and I said, this is downright disrespectful to Houston, and we deserve better. We deserve better. Why do you think how can you be this irrelevant as an MLS team when, you know, your city's hosting the World Cup? Isn't anybody shamed in a healthy manner? The media coverage isn't there for MLS and NWSL, so there's a lot to go, but we're constantly told, you know, how well we're doing. And I'm like, well, okay, is the bar then, less than half-filled stadium? Is the bar not being relevant in the media? So it's tough being the one guy that wants to be critical. I'm not doing it because I want to be someone that's an irritant. I'm doing it because I've been here since 1984, and I just know Houston deserves better. But they're going to be big crowds for the World Cup, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, and when we have these conversations, you know, I enjoy our give and take when it comes to presenting the issues of the day. And I think that you and I and both sides of it here, whether it's you and 97.5 and us here in the morning show and the rest of SDH, we believe in rising tide lifts all boats. And we want to grow the game and make sure that the game is heading in the right direction, especially when you have these large events like a World Cup coming and you sit there and you point at it and go, look, you've got an amazing amount of stories coming in. I mean, because I looked at the grid that you've got. You've got Germany and Curacao. Obviously, Germany, you know, that's a shiny object. We know about that. I mean, Curacao with what Dick Advocaat has done, it's an amazing story. That kind of a thing is unreal. You mentioned CR40 and his abs, which, you know, are tremendous, and they'll be tremendous until he's like 78 years old. I mean, you've got Portugal coming. That's going to be, obviously, that's an easy draw, but for an easy storyline. But who's going to be playing Portugal coming through the Intercontinental Galactic Playoff? If it's New Caledonia that makes their way through for whatever reason, ranked 169 in the world, if the planets align and it's them, that is a slam dunk feature for somebody to help grow the game. With sure. Netherlands coming in and that fatal four-way that is going to figure out that group. I mean, Ukraine, which is a story in and of itself. Sweden, Poland, and Albania, which is another great story. Uzbekistan as a minnow is a great story. Cabo Verde, we've been hitting Cabo Verde hard. I mean, we had Pico Lopez on draft day. Steven Moreira with the crew is there. Saudi Arabia is always injury. So there's a lot of stories that you can grab onto that are coming into you. I'm getting goosebumps talking about this because I'm not fired up. But I mean, it's great storylines that people can hang on to, even if you're not a sicko like us, that you can grasp onto here to help grow the game.
Yeah, no question. That's what comes with the expansion to 48 teams, right? You're getting these incredible moments for these smaller countries, and you know, like Cape Verde. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that had to go to a map and find out that Cape Verde is off of Senegal, and it's basically a volcanic island. You know, so I think those storylines are great. I think it's the yin and yang of competition, though, and meritocracy. I do think we have to be, well, not we, because I'm not making the decision. This is simply my opinion. But, you know, the World Cup, with these great stories, we have to remember there's 72 first-round games, group games, 72. That's more than the entire last World Cup. So let's be honest here. We're trying to make this a participatory event. Yeah. It helps monetize it, right? Because the more games, yes, there are great stories, no question about it. But you know, it's all about expansion, commerciality, and getting bigger, and involving more and more and more. And there's pros and cons to that, I think. I do worry that one day the World Cup, a couple cycles from now, might not be as sacred and as unique as it has been, right? I mean, you can go back and pick out indelible moments in your mind from the World Cup. When you first learned of it, how it affected you, which was your World Cup that kicked off, you know, your excitement and energy and passion around it. You know, I'm sitting here, we have an event with the 1986 World Cup film next Monday, and I'm sitting here thinking, I never forget that side volley that Manuel Negrete hit in Azteca Stadium, you know, and he scissors it and his shoulders dipped and he's flung himself in the air, and just to see that crowd and that reaction. And then in my case, I can go, well, a couple years later, I played against him when he was on Unam Pumas, you know, and he was like a 5'5" little guy. Then when the ball came to his feet, it was incredible, right? So, you know, I just think the World Cup is special, and I just hope it doesn't lose its sacredness, you know? I mean, that was 24 teams in the 1986 World Cup. Yeah. Now we're up to 48.
Yeah, and you don't want to get it to, no offense, the NCAA basketball tournament where you're like 68 and 69 and team 70 is complaining about things, and you're looking at some, you're looking at some 116s that aren't really worth it, and you're pushing to that point right now where, yeah, you've seen it in the Women's World Cup when they expanded the field for the first time and you were in blowout city and it wasn't looking good. But you got, you can grow the game this way. It's a dangerous.
But I think on the women's side, that was a good thing, because you had to nudge people forward into taking the women's game seriously. And I mean, I think that's the greatest thing the 99 team did, and all the great pioneers of the women's game out of the U.S. is that they showed the rest of the world that competing in women's sports was a beautiful thing, right? I mean, you and I, everybody has seen the quality of women's soccer just go through the roof, whether it's the college game, the professional game. It's incredible. I understood the need for expansion then.
Yeah.
I understand it now. It's monetization, let's be honest. But listen, not all fans are like you and me either, okay? Yes, a lot of the European fans are. But in the United States, fans are different. They may just want to go for Ronaldo. They may want to go just to say they went. They may want to go, you know, they're watching clips of goals, but they're not necessarily watching full games. So the expansion of it may be good in a way to attract to a lot of people. I guess the hope will be that the sport will gain some new, unique fans, and I don't think there's any question that will happen.
Yeah, and we were sitting there, and we're looking at the grid about what's coming on in Atlanta, and we're sitting there going, okay, feature here, food. All that. I mean, we're already looking at the grid, and we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we fit all this stuff in? When you look at the United States, I know that there were tiki torches and pitchforks and the whole thing early on. Pochettino was like, you know, just be cool, fam. We got this. Now that we're out of that cycle and we're now heading into 26, I think there's a couple of other matches before you get into the tournament. What did you think of Poch's approach, focusing on, I guess, like 13 through 30 and understanding that 1 through 11, we got 1 through 11. Let me work on the other guys and we'll figure out these other spaces.
Well, I agree with you. Everybody's quick to judge in the world we live in now. And I think there's also people, you know, firing flaming arrows because they got numbers they want to reach on podcasts and things like that.
Yeah,
I looked at it and I said, no, you got to give the man time. Number one, be thankful we have an unbiased manager in here, right? Somebody that's unbiased coming in, and he's not going to be influenced other than the way he sees things, him and his staff. Yes, they had to turn around the culture. You can see he's preaching team. Nobody steps outside of that container, play for the shirt. That's pretty Argentine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's ever a country that's passionate about playing for their jersey, they're as good as any, right? Mm-hmm. So why don't we be quiet and maybe follow the leader a little bit? It seems like that's happening. I think the Gold Cup and the absence of Christian Pulisic, even though that was a big topic in the media, the absence of others allowed others to grow. And he ran with some guys like Max Arfston, Matt Fries. You know, there's other examples there of players that got a lot of run and playing time that in the beginning people were like, oh, why are these guys getting? Well, now they're bona fide guys that are going to make the roster, likely going to play for sure. And now you've broadened out the depth. And there's nothing better than watching a U.S. national team put a beat down on Uruguay 5-1, while guys like Anthony Robinson, Christian Pulisic, Tyler Adams, Chris Richards are all on the outside watching that, okay? That is what you call health, healthiness for a squad. So I think he's doing an exceptional job. He's going to be judged ultimately on how well they do in the World Cup, but where we are positioned ahead of a lot of really good friendlies before the World Cup, I'm optimistic.
How optimistic are you? I'll go ahead and bite.
Host nation, team spirit, camaraderie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Players playing in top leagues in the world. Guys scoring goals consistently right now. Fowler and Balogun at Monaco. Christian Pulisic 2 against Torino. Ricardo Pepi for PSV in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Why aren't you optimistic? And I, Peter Vermees was on one of my shows recently, and he said a really good thing. He said, you know, we got to stop the negative stuff and get behind this team and be, quote unquote, the 12th man. I don't know if Texas A&M was the first to do that, but I have a feeling there's a lot of people who use it. But I think some miraculous, amazing things can happen if national pride kicks in and you see American players competing in a World Cup, and you never know how many inches you can grow and where you can take it. And let's not forget, a lot of these guys have experience from the last World Cup. That was a very young American team that went through that, outplayed England in a 0-0 draw in midfield. I remember that distinctively. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of ingredients here that says you could do something special.
Yeah, as long as I don't see Matt Turner starting to do the whoop, 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 whoop.
Well, goalkeeper, the goalkeeping position, even though it seems like it's Matt Freeze's to lose.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing, I guess, when you're going to walk out there in a World Cup. I never have, but it certainly looks to be a little bit more pressure filled.
Yeah, no doubt. Was there anybody in this cycle of trying to figure out what the roster was going to look like that was somebody that came out of lane eight for you that ended up, winning the race or anything? Was there any surprises that were call-ups that you're sitting there going like, I like that idea, and then they proved everybody right with that call-up. Was there anybody like that for you?
Well, I think Arston was one in the beginning that, people were maybe scratching their heads a little bit. He can play either outside back position. You could see when he first got into the national team, he was making some mistakes. But, what do you expect, right? Like, if you're going to stick and believe in somebody, you have to give them the opportunity. Yeah. It can't be a one and done necessarily. So I think he was one. I think the Gold Cup was very good for Tillman, mm-hmm. because no Christian Pulisic was around. There weren't other leaders. He kind of stepped up a little bit more. Tillman. I'm wondering what's going to happen with Alex Zendejas, who always plays very well for Club America. Mm-hmm. I want to see if he's going to ultimately make the roster. I think the other thing that propelled this whole situation was moving to a three center backs.
Yeah.
If you're not happy with two, sometimes you go with three, right? And you've got the wide players to do it. If it's technically Anthony Robinson and Dest, then you have Arfston as maybe a backup. I mean, who knows? We're just playing around here with the lineup, but I do think they're good options. And I think that was a really a good move by Pochettino to go to a three-back system. And if he wants Tim Ream on the field for certain games, you put him in between two athletic guys. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you play him on the left. That might be a little bit more risky, but I think he's got options there.
Yep, catching up with our buddy Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters at 97.5 in Houston. And he's sporting a T-shirt, by the way. There you go.
Yeah, shameless promotion.
Nothing wrong with that, brother. One right
well,
there.
When you're the Lone Ranger, you have to do your – you know this very well. Mm-hmm. You look great in that studio, but there's a lot of work that goes behind getting the word out about your show and obviously producing it and putting it on the air. Wow. I mean, I've had a radio show for over 20 years on, a major station. I'm on at 6 o'clock at night now on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and then the show gets podcasted. Mm-hmm. But what people don't know is I've had to buy my airtime for 20 years. So that means I have to write a check every month to the station, and then I better go out and sell it. Mm-hmm. And there's been time periods where selling soccer was easier than others. It'll probably be easier now with the World Cup coming, right? And over 500,000 people coming here. But I think people forget that. It's kind of creating your own job, but I got into it because I was calling MLS in the early years, and I'd fly home on a Sunday, and I'm like, man, there's no soccer talk. I mean, we got to do something. Mm-hmm. Got to do something. So I went to public radio, got a show on there, soccer fit the mission statement, and then took it to mainstream radio, and the rest is 22-year history.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're just getting started, brother. Come on now.
I hope so. I'm not sure everybody looks at it like that, but –
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we knew going in, this is season 8 of our network, and we knew going in that when we did the morning show, it started out as an hour, and then we figured we were going to go 2. We just didn't know we were going to go 2 after 8 months. And then you get to 2 hours, and then there's time where you're still leaving stuff on the table. And so traditionally for me in the morning, it's 2 hours 10, 2:15. You know, it turns into this stream of consciousness, logorrhea kind of thing. It's like you're missing news and hearing this. And we go, from that to doing the Monday night show where we're talking Europe, and Jason and Jarrett and Nick and I and Maddie, we're all over the place doing all these kinds of things, doing the twos games, hitting high school hard. It's just... it's amazing to see all the different avenues that you can grab onto and sit there and try to grow the game. And I mean, it's safe to say from my perspective anyway, you're one of the guys that was the first one onto the track. You're one of the flag bearers for this whole thing. And we're just trying to sit there and be right there with you as a good steward for the game, regardless of where we're discussing it, whether it's about Atlanta, whether it's about the stuff here in the U.S. or internationally. We're just trying to be good stewards like you've been.
Well, it's all off of passion. I think that's how it all gets started, especially from my generation. I agree with you. It's a tremendous way to grow the sport, shine the light on things that are going on locally. You know, we have so many kids that grow up here and youth soccer in Houston that, you know, are coaching, the head coach of Notre Dame, head coach of Connecticut. I mean, the stories are amazing. I can't even keep track of all of them, right? You know, I'm calling a ACC women's game the other day, and, you know, one of the top players is a young lady from Houston named Leah Klenke, right? I end up on the plane with her parents. But, you know, it really is amazing. And the other thing is we have history back to the late 60s with professional soccer in the Astrodome. Most people don't know this. They can't tell the stories. And I just want to make sure that some of the storytelling about Houston and its soccer history and the city, et cetera, is not left to the hands of the people in suits, because they don't know it. Mm-hmm. They don't know it. And I want Houston to get its due. So that's kind of maybe where I come in a little bit. And but listen, we also have a lot of fun at this, right? Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of fun with it. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think you were doing the ACC stuff with our friend Casey D, right? Casey White?
Oh, yeah. She's exceptional. She just did the national championship with FSU. She does a great job. I enjoy working with her.
Yeah. KCD comes in on Tuesdays, and she's one of our regular pundit types. She joined us from LaGuardia on Tuesday when she was trying to go from one place. Yeah, literally, she's walking through the concourse. She's got the headphones on and everything. Before you go, one more thing. One of the folks in our Twitch pitch wanted to know what you thought about the current situation with Atlanta United. So what do you think about the current situation with Atlanta United, Glenn?
Well, I'd be excited. You're bringing back Tata, right? So I would be excited with the new manager coming back. I was surprised to see it nosedive for the time period it did. I've been lucky enough to call games in that stadium. And I mean, you know, I walked in there, and then comparatively to what I see regularly, you know, there are just certain markets in MLS that are off the chains, and that was an incredible experience. I don't even think Almiron was playing that night, and the place was still packed. But, yeah, I think we're going to keep an eye on it. But I like the storyline of Tata Martino coming back. I haven't looked into the roster much and what's going on with the build and everything. But, you know, it's like we're bringing the band back together a little bit, right? And I think you've got a manager there that the fan base is going to be pretty confident in seeing return. Has that been the reaction? They're excited to see him coming back?
Yeah, they're excited to see him come back. Obviously, you know, the Miguel Almiron that you have in version 2.0 is not the version you had in 1.0, because, you know, Father Time is undefeated, much like Mother Nature. So it's trying to figure out what's best for Miggy. How do you do things defensively? Do you go 3 at the back, you know, 3 center backs and try to have support? Do you try to be more defensive early just so you get your sea legs with you, then have the offense figure itself out? Those are going to be the questions. And we got free agency starting this week too. So, I mean, it'll be really interesting to see how they fill in those pieces to what Tata and the staff want.
Yep. I think it'll be very interesting. And You know, it's a World Cup year. You know, we're seeing, I think every single day there's going to be really interesting things going on in the world of soccer, and we get to cover it. So how lucky are we?
Absolutely true. Hit the promo for me, sir, before you leave. How can folks consume everything Glenn Davis?
Oh, you can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Soc, YouTube Soccer Matters. And then we stream the show on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Central Time on ESPN 97.5.
Now, you realize, of course, you cannot be a stranger now going forward since we have got back with you and we're trying to do this.
I need to get you on my show, too.
Yeah, and look, you know how to grab a hold of me. Just as long as we can dial it up and knock it out, you know, we'll have fun and we'll crush it.
Yeah, no problem, John. Wonderful. I love visiting with you.
Good to see you, my friend. Go consume your coffee. We'll catch up with you soon.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
As always, great to catch up with Glenn, find out what's going on, and get his analysis and expertise added to our conversations when we can track him down. This is the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. Thanks for dropping by, as you always do, here at 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, at the Off the Woodwork podcast section, and on the Odyssey app. Final guest this week on the Best of SDHAM, once again, Monday through Friday, 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time, live on the SDH Network social media. It is on YouTube, it is on X, it is on Twitch, and you can have it, you can listen to it later archived through your favorite podcatcher. Spreaker is our main distributor, but it does go out to other podcatchers, and you can subscribe to our podcast when all of these interviews come out in audio form after the video live goes out every morning. Third guest, we go and find out what is up in Vancouver as they are preparing for the 2026 World Cup. Committee lead Jesse Adcock gives us the up-to-date report. We find out what's going on as they're getting ready for the world to show up for the beautiful game in Vancouver in 2026. So, Jesse, I guess my first question is, it was a big reveal yesterday. It was the first park where there's going to be practices and things like that. What was it like to finally see grass laid and purpose there and sprinklers and the whole thing? It was a big day for you. What was it like out there?
You know, it made it all feel really real. There's been people working on this project, you know, if you date back to when Vancouver won the bid. So, you know, it started off with, you know, the bid team, and then it slowly moved on to adding a couple here and there. I joined the team about 2 years ago, and a lot of what we've been doing is, you know, making sense really of like what's coming our way, what do we need to do, what are the schedules, and yesterday and this weekend actually very much felt like the starter's pistol went off, you know, like all the planning was sort of, you know, evaluated in that moment of time, or that 48 hours of time that was this weekend. And seeing that, you know, grass, and we mentioned this in one of our press conferences yesterday, you know, 97.5% complete on budget ahead of schedule, just really made us feel confident, you know, that we are up to this and that we are going to do a good job. So for me, it was, you know, the first kind of test of readiness. And it was also a moment of pride as a leader, you know, to see that the team, even though we've, you know, had major events like the Olympics and, like, you know, we've had really high profile concerts, like the last Taylor Swift Eras concert took place in Vancouver. And, you know, recently we held the Invictus Games. The World Cup is kind of a different entity. And so it involves a lot of guesswork. And yesterday just really made me feel good about the work that we had done and the ability to complete the work that's left ahead.
No stranger to World Cup formats because of the Women's World Cup that was a part of the hemisphere when it was here. I guess, how different a city is Vancouver when it comes to infrastructure, hosting, knowing what's coming since the Women's World Cup? How different a city is it? How much was learned? And where do you think you are at this point?
Yeah. You know, I used I think I coined a term yesterday. I called it a layer cake of legacy. You know, really every time you do one of these large, you know, events, you not only build up infrastructure, but you build up capability too. You upskill your talent, you create opportunities for innovation, you make your local companies more competitive, you create talent pools, you know, you create companies that can service the needs of these major global sporting events. And what I really felt yesterday was that, you know, we have taken the legacy and the foundation that has been built by every event, and we're building on top of it. So, you know, I've never felt like we were starting from scratch. I felt like we were building on top of something, and that we had to live up to the previous events that we've hosted and done a really good job of hosting.
How many
people are we talking about here? I guess in the host committee itself, how many different committees are within the committee to make sure whether it's infrastructure, transportation, volunteer, all these kinds of things. How many moving parts are there in this jigsaw puzzle that leads to this layer cake of legacy that you're creating here?
Yeah, I call it the biggest group project ever. I love to tell my daughter, like, you know, don't be put off by group projects in school, because I tell you, like, as your career progresses, that they only get bigger and bigger. Look, this is probably the most interconnected project ever. You have a number of moving parts, and you're going to talk to all the host committees, and you'll see that they're all kind of, you know, made up a little bit differently. But the kind of the standard components is that there's FIFA, who is a large central player in all of this. And they have their sort of, event oversight. And then we, the local host committees, are obligated to create similar circumstances in each one of the 16 cities. We've all signed up to these host city agreements that have, you know, a set of guidelines that need to be adhered to. And ultimately, people coming from overseas, if they decide to pick two or three cities, you want to make sure that they have a World Cup experience, right? Not a local city. I mean, well, obviously, we want to have the city there too, because that's why we do these things. We want to create tourism legacies as well. But in the case of Vancouver, this is very much sort of a government-led initiative. You know, we've got the government of Canada and the province of British Columbia who are generously like ensuring that we have the resources that we need. You have the city of Vancouver that is sort of acts as the key delivery agent here. But we're also working with like our transit authorities. We're working with 18 core security agencies, not to mention the international cooperation. We're working with our destination marketing partners. We're working with, you know, we've got our fan festival happening at one of the most popular parks in the city, the Pacific National Exhibition that takes place. And so we're working with them. And then, you know, I would say that, you know, the host committee, you nailed it. It's all of these work streams. So, you know, there's myself, I lead the team, but the team is a number of leaders who have tapped in a combination of, you know, businesses that excel at doing this, event production companies and entertainment companies and sporting companies, legal firms, you know, like procurement companies, finance companies. And then we have all of the internal structures as well. We're organized around work streams, and our big ones are fan festival, mobility, safety and security, those types of things.
This to me sounds like one of the largest PDF files or Excel spreadsheets humanly possible to try and get everybody on the same page for all of these kinds of things. I mean, this is how big do you have to rent out do you have to rent out BC Place or the old P&E Coliseum to sit there and get everybody? Do you have to go to like Abbotsford or something to have everybody under one roof to make sure that you're all talking in the same space? How does this work with all of these different places and all this communication?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. It is really like a project management masterclass. Like communication is really essential. And one of the really interesting things about this is if your structure is not right and you can't convey the communication effectively enough, you're not going to be successful, because a lot of what happens in this tournament is dynamic. So for example, 48 hours ago, we just found out the teams. And so you need to be able to assess, analyze, and compute based on that information, like very quickly. I feel really good about the team structure we have. You know, we have a number of different forums where people are kind of regularly meeting, and, you know, thanks to modern technology, sometimes we get in a room and sometimes it's hybrid. But we regularly have, you know, over 100 people on the like leadership positions talking every other week, talking about what's the latest in every work stream, what's new, you know, incoming from FIFA, what's happening, you know, just with the teams, et cetera, and doing change management, to use like, you know, project management lingo, but, you know, change managing on the go.
When it comes to the fan experience, transportation, you know, the conversation that we had with Toronto, the times that I've been there, you know, dealing with traffic coming from Pearson, you're coming down the QEW, you're going into town, and it is gridlock. And they're trying to figure out ways around that. They're trying to introduce folks to public transportation and TTC. For those that aren't familiar with Vancouver and transportation in and of itself, what is the plan to make sure that everybody's getting to the P&E for FanFest, getting to BC Place, and making sure that while there is traffic, which is an understood, it's not overwhelming to the infrastructure and to security and all these different things to make everything go as swimmingly as possible.
Lucky for those coming to Vancouver, I mean, we are often referred to as one of the most sort of advanced active transportation networks in North America. You know, our local transportation engineering teams here in Vancouver have been trying to get people moving in active transportation methods rather than vehicles for a very long time from a policy standpoint. So we have a really, really robust SkyTrain system. We have commuter rail system. We have a really, really good, like our transit system is very effective and it's very full and it's very well used. And so working with TransLink, which is our authority here, we've been planning around sort of our match dates for a long time. We also have a committee that involves, you know, British Columbia Ferry Corporation, our airport authority, our provincial government, like that, the equivalent of the Department of Transport, those types of things. And we've all been working really hard to make sure that whatever we can do to ease, you know, the movement of people, whether it's from the land border, through our cruise ship terminals, or through our airport, that we are thinking ahead, you know, understanding where the hotels are, what the patterns are, what time people will be coming, the movement into matches, out of matches. We've been doing some pretty great modeling. And then to supplement our, you know, already robust transit network, you know, we are very much a ride share community, a shared bike system. It's a Rogers biking system that's sponsored by them, and then Lime Scooter, and our cycling network is really great too. So our key message to people is don't drive, you know, take the transit system. It'll get you there and back much faster.
Do you have conversations with other host committees about question and answer, bouncing ideas back and forth? Is it a three-dimensional kind of a thing where you're asking advice, getting advice, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we have to. Some of the some of the questions that we're answering are novel, right? Like these are things I don't think we've done a 16, if I'm mistaken, city coordinated North American event before. I think it's the first time. And also we're operating within the same guidelines provided by FIFA. We're really close with Seattle, for example. We talk to them a lot. We're very close in general, both culturally, from a geographic perspective. There's lots of, you know, concert happens in Seattle. You see Vancouverites going down there, and likewise, people coming up from Seattle to go skiing at Whistler, what have you. You know, we have a label for that. One of the things we hear often is, you know, there's 7 matches in Vancouver and there are 6 matches in Seattle, but oftentimes you'll hear there's 13 matches in Cascadia,
yep.
You know, and so people see it as a bit of a cluster of matches. We're really close with Toronto, obviously one of the only other Canadian city. We talk to them all the time, you know, and obviously we share national interests as well. And then, you know, FIFA does a really good job of bringing all the host cities together a few times a year where we sit in the large rooms and we share and ask questions and get to talk to one another, and then also have, you know, one-to-one meetings with FIFA, and it's a well-structured system to enable information sharing.
Jesse Adcock, host committee lead for Vancouver, getting ready for the World Cup in 2026, hanging out with us here on the SDH Network. I know somewhere in your office, and this is a question that is a universal question that I ask everybody, I know somewhere in that office, there is a to-do list, and it's either on an Excel spreadsheet, it's a document, it's like a Google Doc, it is maybe on one of those big 6-foot by 8-foot dry erase boards that I didn't see in your office earlier today, that's off in a corner someplace, and it's got a bunch of different colored marker, and it's got a bunch of different lines and squiggles going all over the place. Where is that list? Where is that to-do list between now and June? And what do you think the next thing that you can cross off that to-do list is as your preparation gets right to 0 hour in June when it comes to Vancouver and the World Cup?
Well, I can tell you exactly where we are on the plan. We just crossed the draw off, and now what happens is calculus, you know, equations that have been sitting there and scenarios that we've been modeling, we can now actually plug the variables in. You know, we can plug in what our match times are, what our teams are, and start to actually refine our kind of more broad plans. Yeah, I mean, we have a robust set of information. We have risk registers, we have issue registers, we have traffic pattern models, you know, we have data around, I guess up until 48 hours ago, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. And so up until this point, you know, the goal was just be at the moment in time where now you're ready to plug the data in and then let the math happen in terms of, okay, now we know that the first match is a 9 p.m. match. That's a very different model than it could be, which is, you know, on Friday going into the draw, our models were, it could be anywhere between 12 and 8 p.m. So, you know, we were thinking we could have a noon start, a 3 start, a 6 start, you know, and then in the end, we've ended up with, we know exactly, we've got a 9 p.m. start, we've got a noon start, we've got a morning start. And so where we go now is we take all of that stuff, we plug in the numbers, and now we can actually spit out some more accurate forecasts. And I feel like the team was ready for this moment at this moment. You know, it's not, I didn't ever got the sense, and I don't have the sense that we weren't ready. We were basically like, okay, like catcher's gloves, probably wrong sport, but like we were ready, you know, for this to happen. And so now we're ready to go. And the next few months is really going to be dropping all the planning that no longer has a place and going with the models that do.
When it comes to capital investment, whether we're talking local government, provincial government, Canadian government, how big a number are we talking about here? How much investment has been made to make sure that Vancouver as a host city is going to be what it needs to be across the board? And I'm talking, I guess, everything from infrastructure to stuff that's in place that needs to be renovated, new things that need to be constructed. How much of a capital investment has there been so far in the Vancouver properties?
Yeah, you know, so I love that question. The way we always ask that question is people always want to know how much is it going to cost? And we don't often figure out like the revenue side of the equation either, right? So yes, there's a lot of investments that are made, but we also have like revenue sources. You know, we're going to be making money at the Fan Fest. We're also going to, we have a commercial program that we're able to generate revenue off of. For example, like we have a revenue share with FIFA on certain things like our merchandise. And so between everything, we net out between, it's a range up until this point of $85 to $145 million net. So that's taking the costs and then netting out the revenues. So, I mean, that was the predicted bottom line. That said, we've only been planning up until this point. So, you know, we shared yesterday that the pitch that, fans that are following, we shared that it was a $24 million investment and that it was, you know, relatively complete, ahead of schedule and on budget. Unlike that, a lot of the costs that we're going to incur have yet to be incurred. You know, in terms of the stadium investment, that's one that I'd prefer the stadium talks to, but you know, those numbers are pretty out in the public. And I will say that stadium is a world-class stadium, you know, and it's hosting world-class events. And without those investments, we don't attract the events that we're attracting. So they're much needed infrastructure upgrades and they're much needed investments. And I have no doubt that, you know, some of the economic modeling that's been done has shown that the event is going to have over $1 billion of productivity, you know, in the province. And there's been some economic studies done that say that it'll be double that. And I have no doubt that it will.
When it comes to volunteers, and I know that they are a key part of the process, Toronto had, I think, six figures worth of volunteers for like maybe 5,000 volunteer spots. What has the response been from the community and from the province and really from Cascadia to want to be involved as a volunteer to help the process out from a manpower and boots on the ground kind of approach?
It's really fascinating. So the volunteer slots have been almost as competitive as tickets, I will say. So in our case, we're looking at about, you know, 3,500 volunteers, 3,800 volunteers that we're going to need locally. And we're working with FIFA on the volunteer program. And we really enjoyed watching the applications go through all summer because you could see that Vancouver and Toronto, I mean, I know like I didn't keep track of all the American cities and where they were on the leaderboard of that, but like Vancouver and Toronto were consistently top three in terms of domestic and international interest for volunteer positions. So that tells you something about people wanting to visit your city. So super proud about that. we're now starting our volunteer tryout. So we've got folks coming in, and we're starting to try out people for leadership roles in the volunteer corps. And in the new year, we'll start to, you know, put out offers and assignments and that type of thing. But again, the interest to become a volunteer far outweighs, or is far less than the demand to be a volunteer.
And I mean, it's, yeah, it is one of those where you feel like you've almost gotten a different kind of golden ticket when you get to become a volunteer for your city or wherever it is. For someone who's never been to Vancouver and they're interested, you know, they're trying to figure out, okay, where can I go that's a host city that I've never been to? Why should someone go to Vancouver to see matches at BC Place and be a part of the experience there in British Columbia Province? For someone who's never been, why should they go?
Because there's so much to do. I think the first thing is that we have to take a look at the stadiums. You know, our stadium is truly unique. It is in the heart of our downtown. And when the stadium is in the heart of downtown, it's a completely different experience than if you're driving out to a stadium. Not to knock any of the big stadiums. Fair enough. Like the stadiums in the U.S. are like, you know, they've got that like large atmosphere, big capacities, et cetera. And so they create a different kind of atmosphere. What we offer, you know, I think BC Place is a pretty robust sized stadium. It's, you know, going to have a capacity of about 54,000 people, but it's right downtown. So, you know, you come in, you can walk in from your hotel. You know, when you come in, you can stop at a restaurant or a museum or a tourist attraction or, you know, world-class shopping, world-class eating, all on the water, beautiful, stunning imagery. Tons to do. You know, you can be swimming, hiking, like in the winter, you know, you've heard that, you know, in the same day, if you're really, really like outdoorsy, you can kind of, you know, swim in the ocean, ski on a mountain, do all of the, play golf all in the same day in Vancouver. You know, it's that kind of city. It is really, really a stunner. And so I think that the combination of the concentration of things to do in and around the stadium in a walkable environment truly provide you with a way to maximize your time in the city.
And we are looking forward to continue to find out what's going on, what else is on that list, what else gets crossed off as you're getting ready for all the matches that you're going to have there in Cascadia at BC Place. If I'm looking at it correctly in my old man eyesight on the 280 character app on FWC26 Vancouver, and then there are links to a bunch of different other things that you can do there and keep an eye on the process there in Vancouver. Jesse, it was great to catch up with you. I'd like to put a bookmark right here and come back and visit and find out what else is going on there in Vancouver. Thanks for dropping by SDH, and we're looking forward to catching up soon and looking, seeing the progress as we get ready for the world here coming up this summer. Always great to catch up with all of these host cities and find out where they are in their rundowns and what they have left on their menus so they can be ready for the world to come and watch the beautiful game in the World Cup in 2026. And we're efforting every host city twice before the tournament kicks off so we can get progress reports and find out what's going on in each and every market. And we'll keep you apprised as to what we find out on a daily basis. As always, once again, thanks to our friend Chris Dorn in Columbus. Thanks to our friend Glenn Davis in Houston. And thanks to the FIFA World Cup 26 committee in Vancouver. We get to catch up with things going there with committee lead Jesse Adcock and find out where they're progressing and how they're progressing as they're getting ready for matches at BC Place in 6 months' time. Thanks for hanging out with us for the best of SDHAM. Once again, like, friend, be a part of the conversation on all of our social media. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Be a part of our conversation on the 280 character app on Twitch, on all of our social media. Monday through Friday is the live product. Morning Espresso comes in tape format, in audio and video. We are live 9.05 a.m. Eastern time until 11-something. So we traditionally will go over 2 hours with all the news that gets you ready for the day and all the news you might have missed. And then we come back here on your weekend to let you know what the best of, just a small sampling of the best of, for roughly 20 hours or so of programming a week that we produce at the SDH Network. So for everybody at SDH, it is Sophia, it is Maddie, it is Nick, it is Jarrett, it is Jason, and it is me, John Nelson, and Nick Califi as well. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the SDH Network. For all of us, to all of you, play safe, everybody. Mucha plata, y'all. We'll catch up with you next week.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Head to Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
La 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 la, Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.